Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. As you do that each week, you'll draw closer to Christ and know Him more.
You know, a worshiper is not one who attends a worship service and then walks out of the worship service to live his or her own life. Worship is life for the true worshiper. God becomes sort of the center of every decision. We see that in the life of Daniel, that obedience becomes his compass by which he measures his thoughts, his relationships, his choices.
Here's Rich with the background for the lesson today.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. This is that quintessential story of Daniel praying, even though there's an edict of the king against him praying, because worship is too central to allow to be set aside at the periphery of life. And Daniel understands that worship is central to who he is. It's central to his identity. It's central to his meaning and purpose. It's central to his joy. And so Daniel prays, even though there is a law against praying, and as a result is sent to the lion's den. And in the midst of the den of lions, Daniel experiences the glory of the Lord and his protection. And as you think about being a worshiper of the living God today, I want to ask you to think about what cost do you experience as a result of worship? What costs are you experiencing, and what costs would God have you experience? For Daniel, it was the risk of his life. What is it for you? How do you worship the Lord in a way that reveals his great worth? Well, let's think about that as we open up our Bibles to Daniel 6.
King Darius sends a message to every part of the known world, to the people of every ethnicity and nation and language. And he says, "Peace and prosperity be to you all. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never come to an end. He rescues and he saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." And so Daniel prospers all through the reign of King Darius the Mede. What a story. No wonder why it is so beloved by children and adults alike. Here's the main idea we're going to chase through the next few minutes. Worship of the one true and living God is the ultimate goal of every life. That's why you and I are created, to be worshipers of the one true and living God. It's our purpose. The world will seek to disrupt our worship. So we must ready our hearts to worship God when threat, dangers, and trials strike us. If you are a follower of Jesus, you know that worship is ultimate. Worship becomes your whole new identity. I love what Peter says in his letter, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." All these are worship words, a people for his own possession. Why? "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into light." He said that this new identity God has granted you, this new transformation, this salvation has been given you for one reason, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who rescued you, that you might be worshipers lifting up your voice in praise to God, lifting up your worship about God to the people who live near you. And Daniel is a worshiper. He's a worshiper first in heart from the beginning of the time we are introduced to him, chapter 1, all the way to this chapter now toward the end of his life. And the question we ask is, if worship is my chief end, it's the very purpose, the central goal of my life, how can I ready my heart to worship the Lord? And we're going to look at a number of aspects regarding worship this morning as we think about this story. First, I want to think about the preparation a worshiper makes. So what do we need to do to be prepared for a life of worship? So Daniel didn't just worship him on a day. Daniel's whole life was a life of worship. You know, Jesus, in speaking to the woman at the well, says this, "An hour is coming and is now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And he says, and the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And I believe the Father seeks after such people throughout the whole of the world, because there are so few worshipers. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Few are those who walk on this narrow path. Few are worshipers. And the Lord takes observation over every person who says, I'm going to set apart my life to worship the one true and living God. By nature, our lives sort of spiral away from the Lord, and they spiral toward, inward, toward ourselves, toward self-worship. So we put ourselves ahead of the Lord. Worship, it's not a concern of our own flesh. Worship, it's not a focus of our world. So nothing calls us to worship except the gospel. And we need God's grace to work in us if we are to be worshipers. And so think of Daniel. Every day, Daniel sets aside 3 specific times to talk with the Lord in prayer. What's he doing? He's preparing his life to be a life of worship. And what do you suppose Daniel talks to the Lord about in his prayer times? Well, he praises the Lord. He gives thanksgiving for the many ways God blesses him. He confesses his sin. He intercedes for other people around him. He requests God's favor and blessing. There are many matters that he talks to the Lord about in prayer. But I believe much of his time is simply spent asking the Lord for daily grace to help him worship the Lord in a foreign land, to worship God in the midst of trials and temptations. I believe Daniel prays, Lord, your will be done in my life. That's what Jesus teaches us to pray in New Testament age. Please help me with these temptations so that I would not be overcome by them. Deliver me from Satan's influence in my life. Give me grace to obey you every moment of every day that I live. I believe many fail to have a life of worship because we don't make preparations necessary to it. We don't take time daily to seek the Lord for his grace to help us so that when we face the temptations, we are ready and have been given spiritual strength, spiritual life to overcome them. You know, a worshiper is not one who attends a worship service and then walks out of the worship service to live his or her own life. Worship is life for the true worshiper. God becomes sort of the center of every decision. We see that in the life of Daniel, that obedience becomes his compass by which he measures his thoughts, his relationships, his choices. So how is Daniel able to worship God when he's tested under the threat of the lion's den? Well, there are 2 preparations that Daniel makes to establish worship as the priority of his heart. And the first is that Daniel chooses to believe in the Lord. That's where all worship begins. None of us are worshipers until we come to the Lord in need and look to the Lord to provide for us spiritual life. You know, as a young man, Daniel lives among a people who are filled with idolatry, sin, and unbelief. But somewhere along the lines, the Lord brings revelation to Daniel, and Daniel grabs on to the gospel truth, the revelation of God, and he believes the Lord. He says, I know that you alone are the one true and living God, that you exist, and that you reward everyone who follows after you, and I want to be one of those young men. So Daniel began his life by choosing to believe in the Lord. Even when the Lord ordains for Daniel to be deported and have really hard circumstances in his life, he still sets his eyes of faith upon the Lord. And secondly, Daniel decides that his faith is going to be an obedient faith. His faith is not going to be sort of just confessional. His faith is not going to be just sort of superficial. But that every matter of his life concerns the worship of the Lord. And so Daniel lives his entire life, every circumstance, believing, Lord, you are good and your commandments are right. So from chapter 1, we see how Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the king's food and wine. Why did he do that? He says, I want to be a worshiper. He knows that disobedience leads him away from worship. 66 years later, these guys who investigate him say, you know, we know that we're not going to be able to find anything to criticize or condemn Daniel unless we find it in connection to his obedience to the law of God. That's an amazing statement, isn't it, verse 5? Let me ask you, have you made the same preparation for worship that Daniel did in order to live a life of worship? First, have you believed in the Lord? That's the first step. Apart from believing in the Lord, we remain in our sins. We remain underneath the power of the devil. We remain enslaved to acts of disobedience and to following after the course of our own desires and the course of this world. That's who we are. It's by coming to Jesus and believing in him that we find liberation and salvation. I want to ask you today, if you're interested in discovering your created purpose, which is worship, The first step is that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and that you would bow to Him as your King. Many of you have done that, and that's where the second preparation is so important, that we would decide that our faith is going to be a lifetime obedient faith. 66 years, Daniel has shown faithfulness. He prepared for obedience through prayer and dependence, but he chose to believe that the Lord's commandments are not burdensome, are not in some way going to take away joy from his life, but rather are going to feed joy and feed the quality of his life. From the moment that you decide to follow Jesus, Satan is going to follow you to knock you off the path of an obedient faith. And my observation is that while some people make an abrupt U-turn, as they say, okay, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to follow him straight north in obedience, there are some people who make an abrupt U-turn. Oh, what happened to their life? You know, they were following the Lord in obedience, and now they're just absolute open rebellion. While that happens to some, most who turn away from a life of worship do so gradually. They make a small step of compromise, a small act of disobedience, a choice so small it seems inconsequential at the time that just diverts a bit from the will of God. You know, if you're driving on the road and you're driving, your destination is north and you're on the highway driving north, everything's going fine until you see that sign along the road. It might be a sign that says donut shop. And you see that sign and your car doesn't have to do a U-turn. Your car just has to veer just a few degrees off, doesn't it, to get on that off-ramp. And at first, when you get on that off-ramp, you think, well, I'm still going the same direction. Look, there's the highway. We're just a little bit, we're almost parallel. It's almost the same thing. You don't realize that little bit of degree, what does it do? And over time, suddenly, you say, how is it that I'm going south now? I'm not even going the same direction. I'm not even on the same road I used to be on. Because there's just little decisions. And I want to encourage you. Daniel's in his 80s. And there are some folks who are like David rather than Daniel. They got off the path. And we just heard a great baptism testimony. I got off the path. And the Lord was gracious to bring me back on the road. That can happen. How much more blessed, though, to have never gotten off the path at all. And that's Daniel's life, and it's possible for you or young people. And I just want to tell you, as you're young in the faith, that there's going to be a moment, you don't even know when the moment's going to be, when there's just a temptation to say, just move off the path, just a fraction of a degree. But it's a path that leads you away from the Lord. And so prepare for worship by saying, here's what I want. I want a life that is a life of obedient faith in giving glory to God. Are you facing any off-ramps where you're tempted to a small act of disobedience or compromise? The second is the problems a worshiper expects. One lie the devil uses to damage or destroy faith in God is the lie that if you believe in God, that your life is going to be smooth and filled with all the blessings you desire. The idea is that, you know, you give God obedience and the Lord's going to reward you by keeping you from troubles. I believe the prosperity gospel has led to more spiritual ruin than perhaps any other false doctrine in our age. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God doesn't tell us that. Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. John says, don't be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. There are two kinds of pressure that we can expect the world to place upon our lives when we choose a life of worship. First, a pressure to do what we must not do. And that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bow down to the aisle. God says, I can't bow down to the aisle. And the world's going to pressure you to do what you must not do. The second pressure is to not do what you must do. And that's Daniel here. You must not pray. Well, I got to pray. And I think of the two that it's more difficult to avoid Daniel's temptation, you know, because Daniel can say, it's only 30 days. Maybe I'll just close my windows when I pray. I'll just keep this quiet and keep it to myself. I don't have to close my eyes when I pray. There's all kinds of ways that Daniel would have been tempted to compromise his practice of worshiping the Lord. Daniel is not surprised when the decree is made and he is arrested to be thrown to the lions. His faith isn't shaken. He knows that the Lord has a category for that. He doesn't shout, why me, O Lord? How can you do something like that to me? I've been obedient to you for all these years. One of the great errors worshipers make is expecting our temporal life to go well with us because we are faithful to the Lord. So when Daniel learns of this new law, and the penalty of death by lions. He doesn't flinch. He gathers up his papers at noon like he did every day. He walks to his house. He walks upstairs. He opens the windows. He gets on his knees. He faces Jerusalem, and he prays. And I love the words of verse 10. It says, just like he had done before. The whole world is changing, but God doesn't change, and Daniel as a worshiper is not changing. While this day likely felt different, Daniel did not have to wrestle with what he should do. He already knew what he should do. You see, a worshiper looks up to determine what he or she does here below. We make our practice to live life for an audience of one. Let us not be content with a secret life of following Jesus. And you know, when I learned this powerful way through this story, actually, was in first grade. In first grade, in kindergarten, you know, it was half day, they didn't have lunch. First day, you know, you have lunch, you're going to go into this cafeteria with a bunch of kids you don't know. You're just getting to know. And I remember walking in the first day of kindergarten into the lunchroom, and I'm wondering, thinking to myself, what am I going to do? Because here was my practice in honoring the Lord in our home. You sat down before you ate, you prayed. And when you prayed, you didn't just scratch your eyebrows, you know, you bowed your head and you prayed. And I thought, well, what are these friends of mine that I'm just getting to know, what are they going to say when I bow my head and pray? And there was intense pressure to not do what I knew I must do. I prayed and asked God for strength, and as a little kid, you know, again, the Lord is just as real to little kids as he is to big adults. And he was real to me. He said, Rich, pray, trust me. And I knew I had a decision to make, either to fear man or to fear the Lord. And I bowed my head, and there's one of my friends who came alongside of me, prayed with me. Everyone else, you know, did what I expected them to do. You know, they kind of made fun of me. After, you know, a few days, they got over it, you know, and they just knew this is what I was going to do. But I say that to suggest every one of us, whether you're 6 years old or whether you're 96 years old, you're going to have these moments of decision where you're going to say, is my life going to be about worship or is it about pleasing man? Jesus says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Forever who would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Here's the question. What will a man give in return for his soul? And Daniel already answered this question. I'm not going to forfeit my soul for anything in this world. Not even my own physical life. The protection a worshiper receives. So, 21 and 22, Daniel says to the king, O king, live forever. God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. God always protects those who worship him. That doesn't mean that God always shuts the mouths of lions. We read about that in Hebrews 11. We read about that all through church history, that there are some who are executed for the cause of Christ, and God is just as faithful to those who are sawn in two as those to those whom he shut the mouths of lions. God is always faithful. He always protects his own. And we can trust him. And Daniel knows that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't think God's going to let us die here. But even if he does, God's God. And we're safe with him. We can trust him. And here Daniel is. He is able to sleep in the midst of a lion's den because the Lord is on his side. And friends, I want to encourage you, let us not be afraid. Let us not be afraid of man. Let us not be afraid of the devil. Let us not be afraid of the world who hates us. Let us not be afraid of death itself. For what does God say in regard to these enemies? Of the devil, God says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Of this world, John would say, for everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. We don't need to fear the devil or the world. We have Christ, who is our conqueror of death itself. Paul would say, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. God's protection often delivers us from the lion's den, but sometimes he delivers us through it. The last thing I want to observe is the praise a worshiper arouses. The people who worship the Lord influence others to worship the Lord. Do you notice what this king did, King Darius? He goes and he says, I'm making a decree. And here's this pagan guy who doesn't know the Lord, just getting to know Daniel, that everyone in all my royal dominion are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall never come to an end. He's giving praise to the Lord. And why is that? Because he has in front of him a person who set his heart to worship the Lord. And people who worship the Lord influence others. That doesn't mean that everyone around a worshiper becomes a worshiper. That's not true. You know, the Get Daniel group, they didn't become worshipers. But Darius was influenced. Nebuchadnezzar earlier influenced. Let's pray that God would use our worship of him to arouse praise to him from the others around us. He's worthy. He's worthy. You know, the Get Daniel group, their wives and their children, they're thrown into the lion's den. Before their feet hit the ground, they're devoured up by the lions. It's part of the story that Sunday school teachers often don't even tell because it's like, oh, let's just end it with Daniel coming out of the lion's den. But it's a part of the story that's really important for us. It's a picture of God's judgment upon those who refuse to worship him. So in this story, there's a picture of salvation, deliverance for all who bow their knee, submit to the Lord, believe in the Lord, trust in the Lord, and worship him. That's Daniel, deliverance. And there's also a picture of warning as we read this story to everyone who says, I don't want to be Daniel. I don't know if I want to be the really bad guys in the story. I don't want to be a person whose whole life is centered around the one true and living God. I want to live out my own life. And here is this end for the Get Daniel group, those who choose not to worship. That's a picture of judgment. And it's really actually, while it's violent and it's horrible to think about, it actually is light in comparison to the judgment of the Lord at the end of the age. The writer of the Hebrews would say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing, trembling thing. So I want you to consider this. Are you a worshiper? And if you're a worshiper, are you making preparations throughout your life to remain a worshiper? By God's grace, let us worship the Lord together and influence one another. But if you say, yeah, I'm not really a worshiper. I don't have God at the center of my life, and I don't know if I want to. I want you to know that that ending of the story is given to give you pause to think about, do I really want to forfeit my soul? Do I want to forfeit eternal life? Because the Lord is standing before you saying, I want to offer you a way out from that kind of life. And that way out is up to me. Believe in my son Jesus, and you'll be saved.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this message from Daniel 6 about Daniel facing down lions in order to worship the Lord is an inspiration to your worship. There's nothing more central to our walk with God than our worship of God. The ultimate end of all of our life is in our salvation is worship. That's what we're going to be participating in forever and ever, is what's so vital to our life today that regardless of whatever else happens, that we would worship the Lord. Well, I want to encourage you today in your worship of the Lord by offering a free resource from A.W. Tozier entitled Worship the Missing Jewel. If you can go online, you can get this free of charge, or you can connect with us and write us, and we'll send you a copy of it. But this has been a little sermon that A.W. Tozier preached long ago that really has stirred my heart every time I read it. And if you'd like it, please feel free to contact us. You can go out on your own on the web and find it. But we pray that God would grow you more and more in your worship of our true and living God.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.